presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Two quick programming notes that I want to make you aware of. This is going to be really fun. Some of y'all know Chuck Smith, former Atlanta Falcon, former Tennessee Vol, a guy that knows the SEC really well, a guy that I do AJC Falcons News Now with each and every Monday through Friday on some of those video channels. Well, Chuck is an adamant believer that Georgia can win the SEC championship. He and I have been talking about this off the air this week. He laid out such a succinct, perfect plan for both how Georgia attacks LSU offensively, how it stops the Tigers defensively, that I said, boy, the listeners and viewers to Dog Nation Daily need to hear this, need to see this. We'll do that with Chuck Smith later on in today's program. Also, Brad Nessler from CBS Sports, the guy who have the play-by-play call of what Kirby Smart has called the biggest game in all of football. Brad will tell you what it feels like to be in the booth for that. He'll give us his thoughts on what's coming up with the game. We'll do all of that coming up here in a couple of minutes. And also, I will tell you more details in a bit about why I am so excited about tonight. Biggest Marlowe's event of the year for us on our road to Atlanta, presented by Kroger and Georgia United Credit Union, as we're live at the Marlowe's in Peachtree Corners. I'll get more into the details on that in a minute. I want to start the show, and we'll kind of get to that here in a moment. So the theme that we've been dealing with all week long is that the national media, the opposing fans, even in, to a degree, some Georgia fans, and you kind of understand where this comes from, but the number of people out there that think Georgia has no chance in the SEC championship game. This is a fait accompli. I'm not even sure what that even means, but I've heard people use that phrase before. French, I believe that it is, meaning you have no chance. It's already over with. It's already done with. People just kind of assume that's true. But the SEC championship game, and we've been saying now for quite a while that can't guarantee that Georgia wins. I'm not even sure you should pick Georgia to win. But treating Georgia as if it has a chance to win the game, to me, makes all the sense in the world. One of the things that we cited yesterday was, I mean, take a look at a guy like Bill Conley, math dude from ESPN, got his SP Plus ratings. You know, he only made LSU, in his own numbers, less than a field goal favorite in this game. Only gave LSU about a 56% chance of winning. That gives Georgia, even someone dumb like me can subtract 56 from 100, that gives Georgia 44% chance of winning this game. Not the majority chance, a justifiable reason it's not the favorite, but not by any stretch a team with no chance of winning this game on Saturday. And when Conley published those numbers, he kind of put it out on their on Twitter, and then someone kind of asked, hey, why is this game so close? It was actually really nice. Someone sent this to me on my Twitter account, at Dog Nation Daily, said it was worth sharing on the show. I agree, so that's what I'm going to do here. Chris Pugh asking Bill Conley on Twitter, he says, I'm really surprised how close UGA-LSU is. Why do you think this is, Bill? And Bill's obviously using his numbers for this. And here's how Bill Conley comes back and answers this. Conley, of course, the writer, math guy from ESPN. He says, Georgia is number one in defensive SP+, and number one in special teams. And the offense, for all of its annoying lack of, quote, aesthetics or fun or fourth or fifth gear, he says it still ranks 29th. Now, think about this for a moment. We'll get to the offensive part of this in a moment, but just think about the defense and the special teams. We don't really know how SP Plus is tabulated. Some of you don't even care. But what if I told you that your favorite team was about to play a game, it's got the better defense in the game, maybe even the best in the country based on those metrics. It's got the best special teams in the game, maybe even the best special teams in the country. Would you honestly treat that team, whether it's your favorite team or not, would you treat it as if it had no chance to win the game? Now, I don't know how the Conley numbers are tabulated, but I do know the Georgia special teams have been very, very good this year. Rodrigo Blankenship may win the Groves Award. I think he should win the Groves Award. And that kind of goes along with kind of everything else that Georgia has done from a special team standpoint. That could be an edge in this game. It's the kind of thing that kind of easily gets overlooked, right? We think about the offense. We think about the defense. We just don't talk about special teams enough, even when it comes to a popular specialist like Rodrigo Blankenship. We just don't talk about it enough. But if it comes down to a field goal on Saturday, do you trust Rodrigo Blankenship? You better believe that I do. You better believe that I do that. And have I seen things from Jake Camarda? Now, you can't punt too much against a team like LSU, but when Georgia has to, has Camarda gotten better? Yeah, I think he absolutely has. Best special teams in the country? Honestly, I haven't seen the other 129 teams play. Do I think that Georgia special teams is good? Do I think it has a chance to contribute to a victory on Saturday? I absolutely do. And I'm not surprised to see Georgia's defense, according to Bill Conley, ranking first in the country in his individual efficiency type ratings. We've seen that with our own eyes all year long. And when it comes to the offense, what Conley said a moment ago, being 29th best, I think that's just kind of an indication that sometimes we use the wrong words. You know, when a Georgia fan gets frustrated with his favorite team's offense, I think he has a tendency, or she has a tendency, want to say, oh, this is terrible. This offense stinks. This offense is awful. But terrible, stinks, and awful is not 29th best in the country. Now, it's not first, second, third, or fourth. I mean, it's not great. But 29th best, when there are 130 teams doing this sport at the highest level, or at least trying to, 29th best is not terrible, bad, or awful. It's just at times not as good as it needs to be against the elite competition. Does the Georgia offense need to be better on Saturday? It absolutely does. But when you think about arguably the best defense in the country, and as Bill Connelly points out, arguably best special teams in the country, led by a Groza Award finalist and likely winner, possible winner, and Rodrigo Blankenship, don't discount the role that number 98 for Georgia could make in the final outcome of this game. You can't beat LSU solely with field goals, but the right field goal with a sure-footed kicker at the right time, that can make all the difference in the world. Now, let me shift gears and talk Georgia offense here for a moment, because I thought on Tuesday, Kirby Smart said two very interesting things about his offense. One of them was the kind of question, and Smart's not going to acknowledge the premise of this, but fans kind of all know why it's being asked and kind of what the juice is behind a question like this. You've seen the huge transformation for LSU offensively this year, having brought in Joe Brady. You've seen over the course of the last couple of years a huge transformation for Alabama's offense. Now, you can make a case that transformation for the better offensively has also coincided with a transformation for the worse defensively for both programs. Smart can't necessarily say that, but he was asked, hey, when you see these kinds of metamorphoses taking place, how hard is that to do? What does it make you think when you watch the way a coach like Brady or, you know, a situation like Alabama, watch the way that's changed? What do you think about that? I thought Smart gave a pretty interesting answer. Here's what he said.
I don't think that's hard. I think, if you can score points like they're doing, that's great. What's bad about that? I mean, I think we all want to do that some. It's not who we are. I mean, we don't have a team built like that. We're not built like those two teams. We're built very differently. And that's not always by nature. I mean, it wasn't like all of a sudden, you know, Alabama's decided they were going to throw the ball all the time. They got a stellar group of wideouts and one gathering. I mean, it was like they all came in at once and they became really good players. Same thing at LSU. You know, I mean, LSU's, they've had good wideouts over the years, but they got a really stellar group at the same time, along with a transfer quarterback that has been impeccable. So I don't know that philosophically both those guys just made huge changes as much as they inherited two really quarterbacks that are unique, that can do some special things, and they've got some special players around them.
So here's what Smart can't say there, but you assume that he probably believes. Otherwise, why would he do the things the way that he does them? Smart doesn't want to change the philosophy that's in place in Georgia. And it's been an internal debate among fans all year whether he should or shouldn't, whether Georgia eventually will or won't. But for now, as an 11-1 team within a game from making the college football playoff, Smart honestly believes that his philosophy is better than the philosophy in place at LSU. He believes that a good defense will beat a good offense on Saturday. Now, he can't come out and say that because it ends up looking like bulletin board material and it kind of, you know, creates a narrative that Smart doesn't want to create. But if he answered the question, obviously, the thing that Smart would obviously say is, no, my philosophy is what's going to work. The same way it wore down Oklahoma overtime in the Rose Bowl. The same way that defensive-minded Smart's gotten the better of offensive-minded Dan Mullen the last couple of years. The majority of the matchups against offensive-minded Gus Malzahn over the last few years. He believes that defensive-minded, that brand of football, physically tough, is just better. And the results one way or another on Saturday will either give credence to Smart's opinion or maybe open up the door that maybe Georgia in the future should look a little bit more like LSU or Alabama. But Smart's not conceding anything right now because he's exactly where he expected to be, using a formula he expected to use. It hasn't always been quite as pretty as fans want it to be, and admittedly, I've been in that group from time to time, but I don't see Smart backing down from that now, and he may be the one that gets the last laugh on everybody saying, see, I told you so all along that what we were doing was going to set us up for wins. Look what it just did against LSU, but obviously the results are going to go a long way towards that. One more thing from Smart I want to get to. He was also asked offensively about, okay, so you got no Lawrence Cager for the game. You've got no George Pickens for the first half. You know, the receivers that for the most part Georgia's going to be playing are guys that have had fewer than 300 yards all season long, at least in that first half. Does that change the way you call the game now? And I thought Smart also gave an interesting answer to this. Take a listen.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, you can't change who you are completely in a week. Certainly we've got different groupings, different packages, different use of guys. You know, we've got a lot of big guys. We got tight ends, backs. We got receivers, just not as many as we've always, not as many as we've normally had. So, but I don't think there's going to be a major wholesale change in a week.
Do you think that kind of, I guess, increases the importance of a kind of a receiving game for Charlie and Eli?
I don't know if I'd say that. I mean, it's everybody's important, right? So the wideouts that are playing are important. The tight ends that are playing, the backs that are playing. I mean, everybody's important. And it's important to be able to run the ball. I mean, you can't put one thing over another. Number one thing that indicates success is don't turn the ball over, get explosive plays. We've been good at one, and we've been just okay at the other.
So the reason why I play that's for a specific reason. I think it's a good question to ask Smart. What about the tight ends, maybe? If you're down a couple receivers in the first half, how about more tight ends? Now, what I'm about to tell you, I have no idea if this is true or not, but I did hear this, and I'll put a link to this when I post the show at theworldfamousdognation.com later on today. There's a guy named Payne Insider. I don't know if that's his real name or not. I'm assuming Insider's not his real last name, but he was saying on a podcast called Bet the Board, I'll put a link up to it, he said that LSU is actually allowed 70% completion rate on throws over the middle of this season. Obviously, the absence of Devin White from last year's team has kind of impacted that and affected that. He said that that's been a vulnerability for the LSU defense, and maybe that does open the door for an Eli Wolf or a Charlie Warner. Somehow bigger sets, power sets, using that to run the football, but maybe throwing to those guys. That actually might be something that Georgia can exploit, at least in the first half on Saturday. I think ultimately this is one of those games where you kind of throw everything out there, you sort of see what sticks, and it may take a surprise or two from Georgia, maybe using Wolf, using Warner more. Especially if that really truly has been a statistical vulnerability for the LSU defense. Maybe that's the recipe that helps it for the Dogs on Saturday. One way or another, it's going to take whatever Georgia can provide. And there's really no answer that's not a potential possibility for Georgia when it comes to scoring enough points to beat LSU. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video today. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and as a podcast, wherever you find them, including the worldfamousdognation.com. We will post the show there. And I do want to tell you, we're excited tonight. Marlowe's in Peachtree Corners. It starts at 6 p.m. Myself, John Stinchcomb, the former UGL American, Jeff Sintel will be there from 6 to 8 p.m. tonight. It's 5210 Town Center Boulevard and Peachtree Corners. That's 5210 Town Center Boulevard and Peachtree Corners for a Road to Atlanta broadcast presented by Kroger and Georgia United Credit Union, and a huge meet and greet opportunity. Lots of fun, lots of dog talk there at the Marlowe's and Peachtree Corners, 5210 Town Center Boulevard. It all gets going at 6 p.m. tonight. I would love to see you there for that. We'll have more on that, details throughout the rest of our program. Let me also say this, speaking of our friends at Kroger, they've also got some fun stuff going on right now. Big autograph signings, book signings, meet and greet opportunities with the legendary former coach and athletic director Vince Dooley. If you go to dognation.com, you can see all the details for all the events. He's going to be at the Kroger on Lower Roswell Road in Marietta today from 4 to 6 p.m. But all kinds of fun chances for you to catch up with Coach Dooley. If you go to dognation.com, you can see the full list of Coach Dooley book signings. That's going to be a lot of fun. He's been doing this for a while, teaming up with Kroger, and it's a great chance to get somebody on your holiday gift list. A wonderful, wonderful gift they're going to enjoy. And it's a chance for you to meet the legendary former coach and athletic director, Vince Dooley, at a Kroger near you. We'll get Brad Nessler here coming up in a moment. Before that, let's go around the doghouse. Brought to you today by Online Training Academy, and as Georgia kind of works to improve its offense to get ready for the SEC championship game, one of the things that LSU has been doing is working to improve its defense. And if you look at the Texas A&M results on Saturday, the LSU defense was pretty stout. How much of that is and can be attributed to the fact that Ed Orgeron, seemingly after a disastrous day against Ole Miss, an easy win for the Tigers, but a game in which they gave up a lot of yards in the ground, a lot of yards overall, Orgeron, for the most part, kind of called that group out after the game and challenged them to get better. How much of that has been the catalyst for what, at least in the short term, appears to be an LSU defensive turnaround? Let me let you hear Orgeron from after the Ole Miss game. We'll talk more about it.
On defense, we've got to coach them better. Start from me. We've got to put them in better positions. They gave us some schemes. They gave us some problems that we had to work on very hard yesterday to get some answers for. Our players are going to get that today. So, number one, starts with me coaching them better. Number two, we got to make plays when we get in space and make tackles. Plumlee was an excellent quarterback. Give them some credit. They had a good scheme. But I know we're going to get it fixed. I know the men in our room is going to be fine. I believe in Dave Aranda. I believe in our coaching staff, and I believe in our players, and we're going to have a great defense. I know that.
Look, in some cases, I feel like a wet blanket sometimes when I say don't expect too much different from the Georgia offense than what you've seen before. Now, it may be executing things a bit better, like throwing to tight ends more like we talked about a moment ago, but don't expect this Georgia offense to be drastically different in a game like this on Saturday. I think the same thing is also true for LSU as well. Yes, the Tigers played better defensively against Texas A&M than it had played against Ole Miss, and Orgeron will tell you that this group is getting better at the right time, and the best is yet to come for this group. I think that's, though, potentially just as much of a wishful thinking scenario as thinking that somehow Georgia's got this whole entire collection of secret plays. It's going to spring on the world here that the postseason has arrived upon us. I think both these groups are going to be what they are, the LSU defense, the Georgia offense, and it simply comes down to which of these two groups executes its typical game plan the best, and that's obviously a reason why I think Georgia has a chance to win the game on Saturday. It's Around the Doghouse. It's brought to you by Online Trading Academy. And of course, we all want more money in one way or another. We know the market is the way to get that, but making money in the market can be a tricky decision. What do you invest in? Well, I think the first decision is to invest in yourself. That's what Online Trading Academy provides. When you go to this website, tradingacademy.com/Atlanta, you will learn about all the things that Online Trading Academy provides, both in the classroom and online, across a variety of trading styles, a spectrum of asset classes. Online Trading Academy will allow you to learn how to make the markets work for you. No matter which direction they may be moving, you can have the expertise you need to benefit from that. So check out the website. It's tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. That'll get you in touch with Online Trading Academy. It is a very busy edition of our program here today. You're not going to want to miss this later on when former Atlanta Falcon, SEC star Chuck Smith, a guy who has been a personal coach and a trainer for Nolan Smith and others, he lays out his game plan for how he thinks that Georgia beats LSU. We'll hear from him on that in a couple of minutes. For now, though, here on Dog Nation Daily, let's talk to Brad Nessler right now. And, you know, I love the way that Kirby Smart said this on Saturday after the Tech game, that looking ahead to the SEC championship, he called it the biggest atmosphere in all of sports, compared it even favorably to the Super Bowl. And the guy that's lucky enough to be able to sit in the booth with Gary Danielson on Saturday and call this game on CBS is Brad Nessler. We appreciate him being back here today on Dog Nation Daily. Brad, thank you so much for your time, and I am sure you're like so many of us, eager to be in Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Saturday, looking forward to a chance to watch Georgia and LSU call the action. Great offense, great defense. This is a pretty intriguing matchup, is it not?
Yeah, you don't get many like this, Brandon, where it's top five in pretty much every offensive category for one side and top five for the defensive side in Georgia's case. I think it's only fitting that after a season of offense like LSU has shown us that they finally run into a defense that's going to be the best one they've seen, although playing against Auburn I think is pretty similar, and that was a lower scoring game. So Georgia's hope is that they can hold LSU, I think, to about half as many points as they're used to scoring, and I think that would bode well for the Dogs if they could somehow do that.
So it's kind of funny you would say it that way, because I kind of agree with you that you got to hold LSU less than its typical total, and you've got to find a way to score a few more points than you're used to scoring if Georgia's going to pull this upset on Saturday, which almost makes it seem as if the battle between the two, I hate to say it this way, but there's no other way to say it, lesser units, the LSU defense and the Georgia offense, might be the place where this game is decided. And LSU wants to believe that their defense is now better after struggling versus Ole Miss and pitching a pretty strong performance against Texas A&M, and Georgia's kind of selling the notion of, well, the offense is going to be better when it counts, because all of a sudden now it's in the big game with an opportunity to kind of show the world that what it's displayed the last 12 games is not necessarily the full picture of who the Georgia offense is. So for both sides of this, can the LSU defense be better than it has been all season? Can the Georgia offense, probably more important for my audience, can it be better than it has been all season? What do you expect for the two units that sort of get the least amount of attention compared to the other side?
Yeah, I wish it was that easy for Georgia to flip a switch and say all of a sudden we're going to be really good on offense. That's probably not going to happen. And when you look at their SEC games other than Tennessee, it's been all in the teens and 20s. And, LSU's defense, I think they thought they had something to prove a little bit. First of all, I think they got healthier in some key spots. I think they got sick of hearing that Ohio State was a complete team and that the Ohio State defense was so much better and that LSU had a weak spot at defense. When you kind of look at LSU's defense, that for one thing, Grant Delpit was injured and he is healthy. Jacoby Stevens has been bouncing around between linebacker and defensive back. I look at them and I think they're getting better on defense for sure. Good enough to win the whole thing, I don't know about that. But I think they're susceptible to the pass. The problem is, I don't know who Jake's going to throw it to, yeah. at least for a half. If Georgia was a little more solid at the wide receiver spots, I think they could take advantage of LSU. I think they are susceptible to big plays in the passing game. I like their secondary a lot, but they're the kind of guys that, you know, try to make plays and try to go for interceptions. Derek Stingley's a freshman, and he's going to be a number one draft choice as soon as he can be available. He's going to be a great offensive player, too, someday. From their secondary, he's going to be a two-way guy. He's awesome. Jacoby Stevens is good. I think Grant Delpit, when he's healthy, might be the in the top five as best defensive players in the entire SEC. So I look at their secondary and I go, I don't know why they give up big plays. I think it's because they overplay things and try to make the big play when maybe they just should make the tackle. Problem for Georgia, somebody's got to step up to the plate, whether it's Dominic Blaylock, Demetrius Roberts, or Tyler Simmons stepped up a little bit last week. And then without George Pickens in the first half, it's not gonna help. And I wish DeAndre Swift was 1,000% healthy, because I think they could just use him until his tongue's hanging out as both a receiver and a running back. But I just think they're going to have to limit what he does unless he's healthy, and we think he is.
So when you look at the way the Georgia offense is going to perform this year, and you've had a chance to now see him a good bit, they've had that 330 spot a few times now, and including, I guess, the primetime deal against Notre Dame there as well. It has not been the season statistically for Fromm that many people expected and a lot of Georgia fans hope for, and there's this debate that never ceases of, well, is it because of the inexperience at wide receiver? Is it because somehow Georgia's not using Fromm properly? Does the blame rest partially with Fromm on all of this? You've had a chance to see this group a lot. How do you kind of split that up? It's not an easy question to answer necessarily, but what have you seen from the Georgia offense?
Well, I think it's Jake not having enough faith in the guys that he's playing with at receiver. And when you get to week 13, that shouldn't be the case. But the fact remains, I can tell by the way he throws the ball, Jake's, you know, he's predicated on timing, and he knows when to let it go. And he has to be sure that last year at this time, he was certain on almost every pass he threw, whether to be the wide receiver or the tight end, where they were going to be when they ran their route, made their cut, whatever the case might be. He's never been comfortable this year, with the exception of Lawrence Cager, in any of that. You can see him squeezing the ball. I've had defensive coordinators unnamed in this conference say that he's squeezing the ball, and that means he's not ready to let it rip. He used to throw people open, and now he's waiting for them to get open. And when you do that extra second of hesitation, you're either going to overthrow, underthrow, or get intercepted. Very seldom are you going to have a perfectly timed pass and catch. And he was just so comfortable with the guys he had last year that he knew where they were going to be when he let the football go before they make their break. He's still not comfortable, in my opinion, with that, with these guys. And you can only hope, I guess, that Saturday something clicks and it all works. I know it can work. It worked against Florida. You know, they were great on third down. If Georgia's good on first and second down, it maybe won't matter that much, but they've got to find a way to pass the ball a little better than they have. I don't put a lot of the blame on Jake, and I don't know, maybe it's because I like Jake so much, but I just think it's a combination of things, but most of it's not his problem.
Let me talk to you about the other side for a moment. And Brad, I give opinions for a living. When you do that, some of them are going to be wrong. And one of the things I've definitely been wrong about is I didn't think Ed Orgeron would work at LSU. I thought it was a little bit too much bluster and maybe not enough nuts and bolts. And, you know, when you've watched him over the last couple of years there, I think the personality actually does him a disservice, because he does have such a jovial personality and he is so much fun to see on TV. I think it actually camouflages what a sharp coach he's actually turned out to be. They do very well against top 10 opponents. They do very well on the road. They have been solid in SEC play. In terms of the resume of wins, now that the Alabama box has been checked off, there's really not a lot of holes in this Ed Orgeron resume. And so a lot of Georgia fans would have assumed it'd be Nick Saban on the other sideline in the SEC championship game maybe at the beginning of the season, but it's Orgeron here. And I think that Orgeron, despite the fact that he's one of the biggest characters in all of college football, Brad, I've grown to believe that he may be one of the more underrated coaches, because the assistants get so much credit and everything else. I think that Orgeron's actually doing a better job behind the scenes, just sort of managing this program, than maybe some people want to give him credit for, because he comes across such a fun guy. People maybe forget maybe how serious he can be behind the scenes.
You're spot on that one, Brandon. I'll tell you that, because don't let the gravelly Cajun voice fool you. He's cagey like a fox, man. And he's done a really good job. I think his best job is that he lets his guys coach. He's got Steve Ensminger as his offensive coordinator, brought Joe Brady over from the Saints. Everybody knows about that, who's up for the Broyles Award as passing game coordinator. He lets those dudes run the offense. He lets Dave Aranda run the defense. He does a great job of just kind of staying out of the way and being the ambassador. But, man, when you get around their complex and you see the kids and how they react to him, and I don't mean just the players, but the players' parents, right down the line, the recruiting, you can just see it. He's the heart and soul of the team. And, you know, he knows how to coach, too. And, by the way, just because he had a bad stint at Ole Miss, on the other side, when he's been interim coach, he was pretty dang good. And I think they're very happy now they made that choice. I think, you know, when he was first hired, a lot of people said, well, did they even look around? You know, Jimbo was in the mix. Tom Herman was in the mix. He's beaten both those guys this year and beaten them, you know, pretty soundly. So I think he's solidified himself as the face and the heart and soul of that franchise and that university. And they couldn't have a better guy right now because just the whole – that whole part of the country and the LSU fan base is so in his corner. And it's only, I don't know if it can get better than 12-0 and probably have a Heisman Trophy winner, but on a yearly basis, I don't see him going anywhere because they're recruiting like crazy. And like I said, as you said, don't let that kind of cartoon character you see on TV and in the pressers and the media sessions fool you. He knows how to coach, and he knows how to let his coaches coach.
Let me squeeze in a quick final question, if you don't mind. Kirby Smart's called this the biggest atmosphere in all of football. I've been there a million times. I certainly agree. You've seen more big games than I have in more venues. Where does the SEC championship game rank for you?
It's awesome. I look forward to it every year, and you know, I guess it makes it that much more important to my friends and everything that, you know, everybody I know is a Georgia fan.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they've been in it three straight years makes it that much bigger of a deal. If it was Florida and LSU right now, I don't know if the city would be as big a buzz, but everybody's going to be downtown, and it makes it a scene. It seems like the Super Bowl or the Final Four pretty much all wrapped into one, and couldn't be a bigger deal at a better site.
4:00 on CBS on Saturday, Brad Nessler, Gary Daniels with the call from the booth, Jamie Earle all down there on the sideline. We really appreciate you being here today on Dog Nation Daily. Thanks so much for your time, and we'll look forward to watching you on TV on Saturday.
You got it, Brandon. Good talking to you, buddy.
Good stuff there from Brad Nessler. Love having on the program. Really interesting insight. One of the things I couldn't help but notice, and some of the stuff that he said about from the offense, obviously, you know, we can kind of chop that up maybe at a different time, but in terms of the scenario with DeAndre Swift, it was very interesting to hear Brad discuss that in the tone of maybe less than 100% for Swift. Because obviously we've tried to follow, and I don't want to read too much into what Brad said there, but certainly he's open to the possibility of, ooh, you know, he used the phrase 1,000%. He said you'd love to have DeAndre Swift 1,000% healthy for a game like this to give Georgia absolutely the biggest, best, highest and best use possible for its number one offensive weapon. You'd love to be able to have that. Sounds like Nessler thinks that could be a little less than that. And I think for all of us, we're left right now to kind of, you know, parse the words of Smart going back to Saturday and then the statement on Sunday and then the follow-up on Monday, talking about it again on Tuesday, trying to collect all the information here about what has been said about DeAndre Swift, where it goes from Saturday in the tech locker room after the game to, yeah, we think he's going to be fine. He could have gone back in the game, to the Sunday thing of no comparison to Kerryon Johnson for Auburn back in 2017 because we think that that this injury is way, way different than that. Then suddenly it turns into a Monday situation where he's hopeful he can play. And then you're left to say, well, is this just Smart being tired of being asked this question? Or is this really, really the way this is right now? Has it been somehow downgraded? Then on Tuesday, we find out he is practicing and he's actually been dealing with this a little longer than you might think. That it's not that uncommon for running backs to be dealing with shoulder contusions. And obviously there's this cloud that hangs over this of, well, you know, LSU wants this information as bad as Georgia fans do. Maybe Smart's doing all of this as a way of kind of confusing and clouding the scenario for them. One way or another, though, it certainly sounds like if you're a Georgia fan, you've got to be open to the possibility that Georgia will play this game on Saturday without DeAndre Swift being fully 100% healthy. You got to be mindful of that. You got to be careful of that. Now, hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully Swift's able to give you somewhere between, you know, 15 and 20 carries. Hopefully that's the case. But if that does not happen, You certainly hope for the possibility that other Georgia running backs kind of step up in that spot and do that thing. With that in mind, we'll transition here. We'll do our Ortho Atlanta injury report. And the injury to know right now is DeAndre Swift. And I've played you every clip. I've played you everything that Kirby Smart has said. We've dissected that. We've chopped it up. We've kind of done everything we can to sort of figure out what all that means. The honest truth is none of us know. We're all guessing on that. But the other part of this you have to guess on for right now is, well, what if it's not 100% for DeAndre Swift? What if it's playing but not completely healthy? What if it's able to go for a while, but it kind of flares up? I'm talking about the shoulder situation. It kind of flares up over the course of the game. What happens then? And maybe this is just wishful thinking on my part. But the one thing I've kind of said is, listen, we are only a couple of months away from potentially Zamir White and James Cook being the leading rushers called upon to lead the running game for Georgia there at that time. You know, they're on their way to being to this kind of being their team next year. So if you're going to ask that from them in 2020, is it too much to say, could you also provide a big contribution here in the 13th game of the 2019 season for Zamir White, for James Cook, both, to go along with Kenny McIntosh? And obviously, we know that Brian Herrien, one way or another, is still going to get his carries. And Smart was asked about that, going back to Monday. Well, what if it's not 100% healthy for DeAndre Swift? Or what if he's healthy but gets more hurt during the game? What happens if you have to turn to a Zamir White or a James Cook? What happens if it's do something like that? And Smart gave a really interesting answer to that question and actually validated the fact that, hey, if White and Cook are called on, or if it's even Kenny McIntosh, he thinks they could be equal to that challenge. You're Smart.
Very confident. I mean, Zamir's had some good games and gotten to play more and more. I mean, we're trying to find ways to use him. James the same way. And Kenny got to go in the game and did some good things the other day. So I feel very comfortable about the other guys. Obviously, Swift has a different skill set probably as a total package than all of them. And we want him to be in there. But, you know, we've got some depth at that position that we can use guys.
Now, listen, I'm not going to oversell this. I'm not going to tell you that Georgia's going to be fine no matter what, even if DeAndre Swift's hurt. That's not what I'm going to say. The assumption is that Swift is going to play some at least, and hopefully he'll end up being even healthier than I think he is, or maybe that some other people who follow this story closely even think he is. Maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised by how healthy DeAndre Swift ends up being in a game like this. But the one thing that I will say, if that ends up being less than true, if it ends up being a situation where Swift is playing but not the kind of guy that has been leading the Georgia offense all season long, then I don't think a Georgia fan should mind turning some of that attention to Zamir White, turning some of that attention to James Cook, maybe having them both on the field at the same time in a game where Georgia's looking for whatever wrinkle it might be able to provide. You know, I think I'll take Smart at his word here when he says, at the beginning of the season, we thought we were deep at running back, and here at the end of the season, we still think that's true. We haven't seen White's number or Cook's number called as much this year as we thought they might be, but that doesn't mean that won't happen again on Saturday. It's our Ortho Atlanta injury report. Obviously, the DeAndre Swift injury, a big, important part of the game on Saturday. It's all brought to you by our friends at Ortho Atlanta. You know, they got 14 locations around the metro Atlanta providing orthopedic care for the entire family. This is seniors, this is kids, this is everything in between. Lots of resources they're able to dedicate to you to kind of get you back in the game, get you back your quality of life. More than 450 employees, 14 locations, as I said, throughout the metro Atlanta area. You can go to orthoatlanta.com, find out more about all the things they provide, whether it be in-house physical therapy, whether it be, you know, a physician care, just really, really making sure that those aches and pains, those bumps, those bruises, those things that maybe slow you down and keep you from doing the things that you want to be able to do, that you kind of get back and are able to do all those things again, no matter what it might be. So if you're a weekend warrior, for college athlete, professional athlete, a kid, whatever else, Ortho Atlanta can provide that for you. Go check them out online at orthoatlanta.com. That's orthoatlanta.com. You know, they're ones that Dog Nation would recommend, because a good orthopedist can get you back in the game, but a great orthopedist can get you back your quality of life. So check them out online at orthoatlanta.com.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, really fascinating stuff from Brad Nessler a moment ago. Obviously, just a big believer in what a lot of us believe, that the atmosphere, the environment, the backdrop, the stage for an SEC championship game. It doesn't get any bigger and better than that. He's obviously excited about calling the game on Saturday. It was great to him, great to have him as a part of the program today to kind of set the stage for what's going to go down then. I will also remind you, by the way, we got another fun interview coming up in a moment. It's one that I pre-recorded yesterday. Chuck Smith, former SEC star, former Atlanta Falcon, a guy that I interact with a lot because he and I do AJC Falcons News Now, sponsored by Miller Lite together. And he's been just telling me all week long, B.A., I think the Falcons, I should say, I think the Dogs can win this game. I think the Dogs can beat LSU. I think they can do it. I think they can do it. And I said, well, Chuck, he laid it out to me in nice, clean terms. And I said, we got to do this on the air. Come on, Dog Nation Daily this week. Tell us all about this. And so Chuck will do that here coming up in a moment. Before we get to that, let's go cruise around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. Now, listen, I could not be more excited about the season that Georgia still has to come. I'm hopeful there's still three games left. SEC championship on Saturday, two college football playoff games. But I can tell you this. When the season is done, I need a vacation. And so many of you do as well. And obviously, Royal Caribbean provides as bold a vacation choice as anyone can. And redefining what is fun about the cruise industry going back 50 years. They turned 50 years bold here this year. And one of the ways they're celebrating that is by amplifying some of the ships that maybe you've been on or maybe you've heard of, where they're bigger and better than ever before. I'm talking about the all-new Oasis of the Seas, amplified with all kinds of really cool things, whether it be Ultimate Abyss, which is tallest water slide, you know, at sea. I'm talking about, you know, kind of going down that water slide as it kind of wraps around the ship right there in the middle of the sea. That's an incredibly fun thing. All kinds of bars and restaurants been added. Playmaker Sports Bar and Arcade, the Lime and the Coconut, you know, so many fun, which is like a three-story, like tropical paradise type thing. It's just an amazing, amazing vacation experience. When you go to RoyalCaribbean.com, you can find out more about it. RoyalCaribbean.com, you can kind of shop for all the different ships that are out there. You can also get in touch with a travel advisor to help you book the vacation that I know that you need. All right, let's do some SEC through stuff as we're cruising on the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. And let me start with this. Mike Bobo is now officially out at Colorado State. The honest truth is, sometimes the news cycle kind of runs kind of weird. I guess I sort of thought this had already happened. It had been rumored that it could happen for a while. But Bobo is no longer the head coach of Colorado State now. And based on some of the quotes kind of coming out of Fort Collins in the absence of all this, it certainly sounds like the Bobo is ready to look for a new job, that he's ready to kind of, you know, put himself out there. He's not looking to take time off. He wants to be back coaching again. And obviously the initial question that comes up, and this is partially timed, maybe mostly timed, based on around the fact that the Georgia offense hasn't been great this year, of, well, does this mean that Mike Bobo is now going to come back to Athens and be the savior of the Georgia offense? And my answer to that question, we talked about this on a couple of different broadcasts. We did this on Road to Atlanta yesterday, presented by Kroger and Georgia United Credit Union. We did this on Before the Hedges. I kind of talked about the Bobo thing, and my feeling on Bobo is this. If you want to be a head coach again, if you're Mike Bobo, then you probably don't intentionally demote yourself down to an offensive coordinator at a place like Georgia, which currently has an offensive coordinator, or at a place like South Carolina, which has an opening. You probably don't make that intentional decision to demote yourself if you want to still be in the pool of coaches that are potentially getting head coaching interviews maybe in 2021 or some year like that. But that doesn't preclude Bobo from becoming an analyst somewhere. And I got to tell you, if you think about a 2020 season where, let's say, Jake Fromm comes back, regardless of whether or not Georgia wins the national championship this year, think about Jake Fromm coming back for a senior year, and think about a guy like Mike Bobo working as an analyst in a situation like that. I think it would absolutely be just the institutional knowledge that he has of how offensive game plans work. He was a good offensive coordinator at Georgia, even though sometimes some of his decisions were controversial. He's obviously a pretty sharp quarterback coach, even though some of his recruiting decisions could have been, you know, debated a bit. This is a guy that knows quarterbacks, knows offensive football. I think Georgia fans would welcome him in, maybe in an analyst role. As an on-field coaching situation goes, for now, Georgia's got 10 coaches in place, so we'd have to see if anything changed with that before we started talking about Bobo as anything beyond that. Hudson Mason, though, former Georgia quarterback, has suggested that maybe a guy like Bobo would be more in the mix for South Carolina. I just don't know. As I said before, I don't know that Bobo intentionally demotes himself to offensive coordinator right now. I don't think this is a Steve Sarkisian situation where Sark actually did do that coming up the USC job. Very different reason for why he was out there at USC. But the last thing I'd want is Bobo calling plays against Georgia in a place like Columbia. I will say that. Let me do a couple other things here real quick before we hear from Chuck Smith. Paul Meyerberg goes on Ralph Russo's podcast. These are two like national writers, college football types. And Meyerberg was the first, I guess, big, you know, sort of national type guy to say what I've been saying for a while. is that I'm not quite so sure that LSU losing on Saturday is the kind of thing the committee's just going to shrug off and say, well, they're in the college football playoff no matter what. It's not a scenario we've seen play out before. Now, it might be for both LSU or Ohio State and arguably Clemson, even themselves, even though their game against Virginia would be a lot more difficult to explain if a loss occurred. But I'm not quite so sure that the people who think that LSU has nothing to play for are exactly right on this. I think the committee certainly wants LSU to think they've got to go out there and prove something. That may have been why they were demoted a couple of weeks ago. So kind of count me with Paul Meyerberg and maybe others to say that if LSU thinks that they can just kind of come in coast, treat the SEC championship like an exhibition game, obviously that would aid Georgia. And listen, as a fan, I'll take a win however I can get one. But if LSU thinks the future is that easy to predict, especially for a committee that has a way of just kind of doing whatever it wants to, I'm not quite so sure it plays out that way on Saturday. Maybe worth paying attention to. I was going to do some coaching rumor stuff in Ole Miss and some others. Let me just kind of push that aside for right now here on Dog Nation Daily, because I want to let you instead kind of get into the stuff with Chuck Smith here. He's a former SEC guy, played at Tennessee, big-time performer of the Atlanta Falcons, a part of the team that won the NFC back in 1998. He's also an Athens native. He grew up in the city of Athens, so he's got some affection for Georgia, at least in terms of how he grew up. And he believes that Georgia can win the game on Saturday. I think you'll like this from him, guy who knows football, and he used that expertise to lay out a case that a lot of Georgia fans might find pretty fascinating. So on what is a big and busy full show for us, hope you enjoy Chuck Smith right now.
Hey guys, it's Brandon Adams along with a very special treat for you here. The former Atlanta Falcon and a big star in the SEC for the Tennessee Vols, Chuck Smith, the guy that I host, AJC Falcons News Now, sponsored by Miller Lite, with each and every Monday through Friday. Want to talk a little bit about the SEC championship game on Saturday because, well, first of all, we should explain to people, even though you're a Vol and even though, you know, you obviously were a nemesis of Georgia for a number of years, the truth is you grew up in Athens. You got a lot of backstory when it comes to Georgia football as a lifelong sort of Athenian, a guy that kind of grew up in that Athens area. You go way back with Georgia football.
Yeah, I grew up a Georgia fan. You know, again, I was one of those kids that worked at the stadium. Yeah. I worked for Bobby Paus, you know, I mean, years ago, you know, peanuts, popcorn.
You better believe I used to collect those cups. I was one of the kids always trying to stack up those souvenir cups, see how I can get that up there. Yeah. So,
and I've spent many days, and I spent nights over at Vince Dooley's house. Derek Dooley was on our team. I remember all those guys from back in the day, all those coaches. I mean, we had five coaches that were kids that played with me at, you know, from University of Georgia. So Georgia's always my second team.
And also, you and I have been talking off the air a little bit, and that's why I wanted to bring this on Dog Nation Daily here today, is we all admit and acknowledge LSU's the favorite on Saturday. They're undefeated. They, you know, been one of the top teams in the country all year long. And yet you see a pathway to victory for Georgia potentially on Saturday, and it kind of comes from the defense, the side of the ball that you know really well. And I have loved some of the stuff you've been telling me this week, and I was hoping you'd kind of explain this to our audience, why you think the Georgia defense might be really able to step up at the right time with this very, very high-powered LSU offense this Saturday.
Well, a lot of people, Brandon, talking about, well, they got to rush the passer, oh, they got to hit the quarterback. And that's important. That's number two. Now I'll explain why. The first thing you got to do is something called no free release.
Okay.
You got to put your hands on the wide receivers. You got to put your hands on the receivers of LSU. You got to make it into somewhat of a backyard brawl. No one has done that. LSU does, they want to go four verts.
Yeah.
They want to send guys basically four verts and, you know, assume they're going to have time. So this LSU team, they're not used to people being physical. They're not used to people getting their hands on them. So to me, I'm turning to a backyard brawl. Then number two, you got to get after the quarterback. But you can't. This is something different. Now, Joe Burrow, he's really crafty. He can run the ball, things like that. You got to get him down. This is a game where you got to get him down, but you got to do this. You got to slow play it from the standpoint of we're going to be more physical. You know what I'm saying? You got LeCount. You got J.R. Reed.
Yeah.
You got some dudes, man. So what I would like to see this week in Georgia wins, if they basically beat up the receivers, keep everything in front of them, and then you start sending some calculated, you take some calculated risks, don't blitz with seven guys.
Right.
Don't keep blitzing your corner like Georgia does, like Dan Lanning, they've been doing a good job of. Send five. Trust your pass rushers and turn those guys loose. Try to figure out a way to get Tyler Clark matched up. He is a nightmare because Tyler can rush. But what happens is a lot of times, you know, it's a coverage-based team.
Yeah.
Kirby's a defensive back coach, a defensive mind frame. So I think this week, I think it's going to start with great coverage because I think Georgia's defense, which I believe is the greatest one they've ever had, I think they're underrated. And this is the weekend where I believe they're going to surprise people, and LSU is going to have to try to get in from the backside.
Boy, that's exciting to think about. And, you know, when I think about the entirety of the Georgia season, where early in the year it seemed like Georgia was maybe trying to establish a pass rush, a little bit more of a concerted effort than maybe it has been as of late, and it seems like at times they were close but no cigar. A guy that you know really well because you've worked with him as a personal coach, Nolan Smith, will be this close to getting a sack. Azeez Ojulari, this close to getting a sack. In some cases, a half a second would have made all the difference in the world. A full second would have made all the difference in the world. That jam at the line of scrimmage from those defensive backs, forcing the receivers to take a couple extra steps to get where they want to go, that's where you find that second, is it not?
No question. That's where you find that second. Remember, these pass rushers have gotten better and better. And it, listen, in big games, a lot of times coaches hold stuff back. I can tell you this right now. This Georgia staff, they hadn't shown everything. Why? Because we've beaten everybody down. I mean, let's be real.
Right.
They're not giving – Kirby's smart, man.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, the no free release, and I pray to God, because I've kind of heard people talk about this from their staff, you know, here in Undertow. We just can't let them run through the zones. Put your hands on them and let these guys rush. Yeah. I believe Nolan, this front, I think this is going to be their coming out party because these guys can rush. But I think it's going to be also predicated. Can I talk a little offense real quick?
By all means.
All right. LSU can't rush the passer. So now on the other side of the fence, we're talking about Georgia. You know, everybody's talked about, well, we would like to see more pass rush. LSU ain't got no pass rushers. So Georgia, to me, this is the game where I'm, hey, Fromm, you're a million-dollar guy. You're the money guy. I'm giving Fromm a chance and say, hey, young receivers, you're a five-star. We brought you in here. We got to ride or die with you. You can't handicap this quarterback because this defense sucks.
Yeah.
This ain't no great, incredible defense. It's not Alabama, you know what I mean, 2017 or something like that.
Yeah.
So, to me, this is a below average, and they cannot rush. This is a defense that can't stop the run. But I'm telling you, man, everybody says, well, we can't go out there and gun with them. Well, you can't try. If you think like that, you're already going to struggle. But I believe because I'm looking at it from a pass rush. LSU pass rush sucks. And Georgia's offense is supposed to be the greatest offensive line they've ever had. Earn your money. Give Fromm some time. Make easy throws. Set it up with the running back running the ball. And I believe Georgia will win this game. I'm picking Georgia. I'm telling you, I'm picking Georgia. Everybody, wah. We don't. Man, this team has lost one game. They're built to win. You got a what's the equivalent of a franchise quarterback. This is the game where you turn them loose. Because, again, it comes to tell you, man, LSU can't rush, man. Throw the ball. Just give Fromm a chance. Man, boys can't rush down there.
Good stuff from Chuck Smith, former Atlanta Falcon, guy that knows the SEC really well. You can see him every Monday and Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern time on AJC Falcons News Now, sponsored by Miller Lite. Chuck, thanks for stopping by and talking to us.
It's good to be here. I would say go Dogs, but we can't take it that far now. We can't. I'm excited about the dog, but we ain't going to take it that far.
Funny stuff there from Chuck at the end. He says, I'd say go Dogs, but that's going to take things a little too far. I love working with Chuck because, and we do it every Monday and Friday on the Falcon Show, you can just kind of get him sort of stirred up, and he just goes, and he's got a lot of passion, a lot of energy. He knows the sport really well. He obviously coached it, and he, you know, he's a personal coach. I'm sorry, I should say he played it, and he's a personal coach for a guy like Nolan Smith. I mean, he's worked with him, worked with a lot of these guys, guys that were on the roster in previous years. He's worked with a lot of those guys. So he really puts his money where his mouth is in terms of he's earned the expertise that he has by being a very good player and by being a real serious coach of the position of defensive line and pass rush and really anything in the front seven. He's just really spent a lot of time working on. And so it's really fun to get his perspective. Even if he's a Vol, he obviously thinks that Georgia has a chance to win this game on Saturday. It was really, really neat to be able to hear him lay all that out. One quick reminder, we are in the midst of a big celebration with our friends at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. They are celebrating their 25th anniversary. And as a way of honoring that, they've got a code for you right now to remember, BVR25. When you use that code, you can get up to 25% off on select dates here during the month of December. But you've got to go to this website, brasstownvalley.com, use the code BVR25, and you can save up to 25% on a few of those dates here in the month of December. So check that out, brasstownvalley.com, BVR25, in honor of Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa's 25th anniversary. Zenti Zelo Allen on Facebook says, Chuck Smith's got me less nervous about Saturday now. Yeah, I thought you guys would like that. I'm glad to hear people felt that way. Something else is going to get you less nervous, feeling good about the game. Because after all, I mean, look, this is what it is. You know, Georgia's got a chance to win. I think a pretty good chance. Not the best chance. It's not a guarantee, but a chance to win. One of the ways in which we're going to kind of explore this a little bit more this evening, tonight at 6 p.m., the Marlowe's and Peachtree Corners for our big Marlowe's matchup slash Road to Atlanta event. Kroger, Georgia United Credit Union, all make it possible. Marlowe's Tavern provides everything else in terms of the venue for us to be there. 5210 Town Center Boulevard. 5210 Town Center Boulevard. John Stinchcomb, me, Jeff Sintel, talking recruiting, talking SEC championship. Please come by and see us tonight, 6 p.m., Marlowe's in Peachtree Corners. By the way, Gatorator Updater, Gators watching this one on television on Saturday. Dog Tournament of Spectators, 1,132. We'll see you tomorrow, Dog Nation Daily. And on video. Good to have all of you with us. We will now transition to our R.S. Andrews cool down. A lot on today's show. You know, sometimes we cram a lot, and maybe occasionally we try to cram a little too much, but I hope you enjoyed Chuck Smith. Hope you enjoyed Brad Nessler. Hope you enjoyed everything else we were able to lay out for you today as we start trying to make that case for why Georgia might be able to win this game on Saturday, and we're glad to have all of you with this. Rudy Crowder says, don't feed into the negativity. We can hang with LSU. We can beat them. Yeah, and the can is really the only thing you can ask for in life. You can't ask for guarantees. When it comes to really playing at the highest level in any aspect of life, you know, if you want guarantees, then play it safe. If you want guarantees, then live small. When you